This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up later this hour, we'll talk to our pal Alan May about the Washington Capitals. They are red hot. He'll join us at 8:20. But join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, a guy who played here in D.C. for many, many years, former Redskins QB Gus Frerotte, who now has a podcast, Huddle Up with Gus. You've entered the fray of podcasting, huh, Gus?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. What's up, Gus? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. The podcasting has been interesting. I get to interview people and ask them questions. So find out their most embarrassing moments and ask them. But no, I try to stay away from that.
Are you just doing it from your basement or from your office?
No, I have a studio. It's been great. We've been working up. I just went on with radio.com. I'll be one of their original podcasts now. So,
very cool.
Really excited to be at one of their original podcasts and get to interview some great guests. We had Peter King out this week, who told us some great stories about Brett Favre and Patrick Mahomes and Peyton Manning and riding on the bus cross country with John Madden. So it's been pretty interesting, and we really dive deep into how sports shapes people's lives. Like, I would ask you guys, hey, what was that first influence that you had that you remember that shaped your love of sports? And you guys all have a story to tell, and that's what we try to get to with our guests.
So, Gus, I want to kind of get your take on Dwayne Haskins, but I want you to tell us about your first two NFL starts. Like, when did that happen for you? And tell us how those first two NFL starts went for you, because, of course, we know that you really shouldn't judge a quarterback after just two starts, but it's just natural to start, you know, developing opinions.
Well, I think that Dwayne's in a tough position. You know, the Redskins have kind of been on a downward spiral. They're kind of in flux, so he's had a lot of a tough road to hoe, kind of say. And you know, coming in that position where he is, it's pretty difficult. I came in with a new head coach. You know, some other situations happened for me where the first rounder Heath didn't come to training camp and then got injured, and then John Freeze was injured, and then I got to play, and we went to Indianapolis to play John Harbaugh and the Colts and Marshall Faulk and was able to go there and have a good game and throw some touchdowns. What a great experience it was for me. We had a pretty good team, a good foundation for a team. And I would just have to say that the Redskins were much different than they are now. And so those first two games are tough, and you're excited and you're young and you know, you're nervous, but you got a lot of adrenaline going. I'm sure I threw a lot of footballs that were way harder than I wanted to throw them. You know, it ended up working out. And I feel like Dwayne can really, I liked what he said during the game. He's getting his guys fired up. I think that, you know, when you get a young guy like that has a lot of ability, you got to put the players around him, build that foundation. And, you know, I don't think you can go off what's happening. Let's focus on all the good things that he's doing this year. And then let's build off of that and find out really who he is, what kind of leader he is. And the only way you do it is by getting him to play in a game.
Gus, I've got your first two game logs here. You mentioned at Indy, you threw the two touchdowns, no picks, 17 of 32 on the day. The next week, you played Philly. You guys lost by 2 points, 31 to 29. You were 13 of 30, three touchdowns, two picks. So you're able to find the end zone.
Wow, you threw five touchdowns.
Those first few games.
That would have been a good fantasy week.
Absolutely.
Yeah, not a good completion percentage, but a good fantasy week.
Yeah.
I don't even know, like, I remember back in that day in the fantasy, if you wanted to do fantasy, you had to put a floppy disk in your computer. That's
yeah.
How long ago that was.
Yeah.
So it's come a long way, and you know, if It was a great experience for me, and it really helped me solidify my 15-year career.
Well, like what you said, you were in a better situation there because Norv just came in, but you had stability at least. I mean, Norv was there for, what was he there, for 5-6 years?
I think almost 7.
Right.
Yeah, and at least you had stability in the front office and a head coach. You knew who was going to be your coach and your coordinators, and like you said, you had talent around you. Dwayne doesn't have any of that.
Yeah, no, Dwayne doesn't have any of that, and you know, they're going to be finding a new head coach. They're going to be going through a lot of stuff this offseason. And, you know, I put on Twitter the other day, the only thing he can do is work hard, go study his film, go study what's going to make him better, try to kind of relate to some other quarterbacks. Hopefully he can go talk to some veterans that are around and pick their ear and really try to come out next year and make solid plays, you know, don't turn over the football. You know, make the throws that are necessary. Just study the game and really understand it mentally because he has the physical skills. You know, what separates most people is the mental side of the game.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
You know,
go ahead, Gus.
I was going to say what's funny is Peter King talked about Peyton Manning. And we talked about how really Peyton Manning was, he could remember every play of every game. If you go back to Peyton now and said, well, hey, what happened in that 2000 game or whatever, championship or what, and he's going to know it all. He's going to remember those plays. He's going to remember throwing incomplete passes. Peyton was just a student of the game, and he talked about how he's just, you know, he's kind of nutty like that. Like, he loves the game so much that, and I think that's part of it, that if you want to be great, you got to understand the game in and out, and, you know, that's what I would suggest that Dwayne go out and do.
So few guys, though, can actually make it at that position and have a long career. I mean, you lasted, I don't know, 14 years or something. I mean, you lasted a long time. When you're looking at and you're evaluating a quarterback, I don't know how much of tape of the games you've been able to see of Dwayne, but, like, what are you looking for? Is there one thing where you say, oh, if he can do this, then I know he could stick, he can make it in this league?
Well, he's got to be able to, first of all, you know, this team, he's young. Teams he's playing, they know that they're going to put pressure on him. You know,
right.
You've got to see if he can handle the pressure. Is he getting rid of the ball? Is he going to the right player to throw on a blitz, on a read?
Right.
I'm not sure what they're telling them, if you have a hot read or if, hey, this guy is just running a flat route. He might be opposite of the blitz. You've got to get it to him. You're going to look for those things. How does he handle that pressure to begin with? You know, is the game coming smoothly and naturally to him? Is he struggling with play calling? All those kind of things. He doesn't seem to be doing that. I think that he's going to get pressure. He's going to have to move. He's going to have to play in the pocket. He seems to be more of a pocket passer.
Yeah.
And you know, they're going to have to build that line around him to give him time to throw, because if he has time to throw, I think he can prove that he can make all the throws you need to make in the NFL.
What was the biggest adjustment for you? You were in college longer. You had more game reps than he did.
A lot more reps.
Yeah. But what was the biggest adjustment for you? Because for him, you know, he had to learn, obviously, the play calls. He didn't even call plays in college. He was, like, clapping his hands. He had to learn to play from under center.
Well, that's a big adjustment. I did all that, you know, when you're in college and you got to call the plays, be under center, run a pro-style offense. It's a big difference in a lot of college teams run now. So he's got to make a lot of adjustments. You know, you can see the talent he has by his arm strength and the throws he made in college. But there's more to the game than that. You got to be able to read a defense, pick up a blitz, move the safeties with your eyes. We see it week in and week out with the cameras they have now and how you can see the game as a fan. You can see if the quarterback's able to do that. And you can see if they're doing their job. And the announcers are picking up on all those things and talking about quarterbacks in that way. Hey, look at this guy. He looked the linebacker off. And so he could throw in, you know, a curl route, whatever it is. But Dwayne's got to really do a good job of stepping up to the NFL game, because it's a whole lot different. You're going against top, top competition. And you got to make throws that you never had to make before. And that's one of the things I learned. Like, guys are wide open in college because, you know, we're trying to find their fourth best player, which, you know, your best receiver against their fourth best player is going to get a lot of wide open throws. And in the NFL, it's not really like that.
Talking to Gus Frout, former Redskins QB, he was in the league for 15 seasons. While you were playing, could you have imagined a quarterback doing what Lamar Jackson's doing?
No, man, what an amazing talent that guy is. You know, it just puts such – I love it because it just puts a pressure on the defense. You know, they don't know what to play. They don't know if he's running, if he's throwing. He can scramble out of the pocket. He's a big kid. He's not going to, you know, just slide 6 yards away from a, like I would, 6 yards away from a defender. He's going to make a move and go. So he puts a lot of pressure on people. He seems like a very good person, good player to be around. And I think he's been humbled a little bit. And I think what they did with him and trying to bring him along slow, just let him come along, learn the game a little bit, be behind Flacco for a year. And he had to come in early last year. But what an amazing talent. It's a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, it's not bad that I have him as my quarterback on my fantasy team either.
You and Cakes.
Yeah, that helps. You're helps
getting,
a lot.
You're getting a lot
of
points.
Hey, I'm Team Lamar with Gus. I like it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Valdez.
Hey, I took a chance on him. I said, this kid's going to be good. He's got a lot of talent. You know, he can run it, throw it. We can get a lot of points out of him. So I think that's coming true.
What'd you make of the cap workout? I don't know if you happen to see any of it on YouTube, but, you know, anytime these guys are out there in shorts and a T-shirt and just playing catch, it just seems kind of silly. I don't know how much they can gather from those things.
Yeah, I don't know if they could gather much. I mean, I've seen a lot of guys come through and have been at 7-on-7 and ground versus air practices and, you know, can't go out in the game. But Cap's proved himself before that he's an NFL quarterback to make all the throws. You know, I think it was more or less just to get him back out there and get him in front, cause some stir about him and try to get back out and play the game that he loves. You know, that's what it comes down to. Is, you know, he played the game his whole life and somehow he got kicked out and just hadn't been able to play. And that's all he wanted to do is come back and prove that he can play on a team and be part of a team. I don't know as far as all the political stuff and everything, which, you know, it is what it is now, but he's just trying to get back and play the game he loves. And you never know, maybe we'll go to the XFL.
All right, Gus, we'll talk to you soon. That's Gus Frerotte. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, Gus. Appreciate it. Good luck with the podcast, man.
Yeah, good luck, man. I appreciate you guys having me on. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. That's Gus Frerotte. He's part of our radio.com family.
That's right. Welcome him in.
Who knew?
It's good to have him.
So he's with the Redskins from 94 through 98, and Norv did coach 7 seasons.
Well, he was
seven? I guess he didn't finish his seventh season.
Oh, he was fired in his 7th year? That when Rubisky came in?
Gus was with the Redskins 94 through 98, and he's with the Lions, the Broncos, the Bengals.
Dude, he had a great
the
career.
The Vikings, the Dolphins, the Rams, and then back to the Vikings.
A great career. Like
made a Pro Bowl.
14 years.
Made a Pro Bowl in 1996.
Yeah.
I mean, you say he played 14 years in the NFL? That's pretty impressive.
Exactly.
I mean, I know he was a backup for some of those.
That's why I say if Ryan Tannehill lasts 14 years, you're just going to tip your cap to him. That could be a superstar.
Hey, you know what? That's a great life. Is if you can
play
14 years, and if you're a backup for some of those years, you're still getting paid. Now, you're getting paid decent money, and you're just chilling. There's no harm to your body.
It's a great gig.
It is.
It'll tell you, though, how the game has changed. So when he made the Pro Bowl
in
1996, he passed for 3,453 yards. That was 6th best in the NFL. I would guess if you throw for 3,400, you're going to be like 20th in the NFL now.
Oh yeah, there're going to be guys. There're going to be guys who go over 5,000 this year. You know they're slinging it way more than they used to. I just think it's a shame that we're, you know, and I'm guilty of it. We all are, and I knew this would happen. That we're just so quick to judge these guys after just a couple starts. You know, it's just not fair, especially when you got someone like Dwayne who's got so much he's got to learn in such a short period of time.
And, you know, I mentioned this. Peter Haley had this article on NBC Sports Washington, and here are the numbers. I'll just give them to you. This quarterback completed 45 of his first 66 passes, 446 yards, 3 touchdowns and a pick, 68% completion percentage. Just take a stab at it.
RG3.
That was E.J. Manuel.
All right. Cool.
So he looked great for 2 games, and then he became E.J. Manuel. How about this one? First 2 starts in the NFL, 22 for 46, 319, 1 touchdown, 2 picks, 47% completion percentage.
Who knows?
It's got to be somebody silly.
Troy Aikman.
Matt Ryan. Turned out pretty good. First 2 starts, 34 for 57, 358 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, 59% completion percentage.
Johnny Manziel. I don't know. How
Dwayne Haskins.
The starting numbers
aren't that bad.
Say the numbers again. Say the numbers.
34 for 57, which is a 59% completion percentage. 358 yards. Now, that's kind of nubby for 2 starts, but it is the Redskins offense. 2 touchdowns and a pick.
That's why you can't get caught up in numbers.
Yeah, you got to just look at it.
Yeah.
And Mariota had 6 touchdowns, no picks in his first 2 starts with a 65%.
Mariota is kind of confounding.
He's a bucket of yuck.
I don't
want no part of him.
What happened to him?
Oh, Drab, why are you shaking your head? He stinks.
No, I stand with the people of Nashville who all think that he's gotten a raw deal.
Oh, really? You stand with the people of Nashville all of a sudden?
It's weird because he's had success.
There's a clamoring for Marcus Mariota all of
a sudden.
What's the issue? Has he just gotten hurt too many times?
They think it's bad coaching, but bad, terrible talent around him. They still think that he's a beyond serviceable quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah,
and they think they're getting rid of him for what could be a rookie quarterback or another veteran, and he's going to go elsewhere and succeed. And I'm in that camp.
We'll see.
Okay, because you're a duck mark from his days back in Oregon. That's why.
We'll see. He's had 5 years to prove it.
He stinks deep down. Gave you truth serum.
The problem is he's had games, right? He's had big games.
I just gave you his first 2 games. 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, but I mean beyond that.
Yeah, but he's had way more bad to mediocre
games.
Let's just say he never throws that many touchdowns.
Well, his second year was the only year. He's also been hurt.
I'm telling you. If he became available, why wouldn't Skins pick him up as a backup?
Oh, he's fine as a backup.
And then if Haskins fails,
as a backup,
then you throw him in there.
You love him.
I gotta look at his game log because I've always been kind of confounded.
Yeah, go look and be underwhelmed. Unlike Drab and the people of Nashville that he's standing arm in arm with.
I think you need
to understand it.
I want to look at it.
You can't go by the numbers. You got to watch him play.
I got to watch him play.
So if you look at the numbers,
his career, he's a 29-32 as a starter. So he's a couple games under 500 as a starter.
Yeah, it's all
that's
about
the last number I would look at, the wins and losses.
I'm just saying.
He's got
look
a playoff
win. Look at his individual numbers.
Give me his touchdown interception ratio.
76-44. I think he might get a bad rap. I got to look at him.
Bad
solid.
Rap. He's a bad player.
He got to win because Andy Reid sucks in the playoffs.
Like, let me look at him. I'm going to look at his game log last year. I'm intrigued. So they're going to move him, huh? They're moving on from him?
Well, it's finally year of his
contract. Here. Him and Winston moving on.
So last year is weird.
Here's what's going to happen. Here's Whelmed. This is where you're going to be. Whelmed is up here.
I don't know how a guy can play 16 games, 14 games, and only have 11 touchdowns. That's amazing.
Right. Because he's a bad quarterback.
I can't let my guy Mariota be ruined by the Redskins.
I can't let it happen. I'm kind of with you on that.
Yeah, because if he comes here, he'll be even worse.
My guess is he's going to go someplace where he's going to have a chance to start.
I would think so too.
He's going to move to a spot much like Tannehill. Much like Tannehill moved to the Titans this year because he figured he'd have a chance to start, and now he's starting.
Who are his weapons though? Give me his best weapons over his last 4 or 5 years.
Corey Davis,
Delaney Walker.
All right, done.
Delaney Walker, good.
He's got Deion Lewis out of the backfield.
He's got a stud running back.
Derrick Henry.
He's had weapons.
Great receivers.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he's had great.
Nobody
receivers.
Would say great.
Yeah.
Average receivers?
Does every great quarterback have great receivers?
No, usually
most of them
the
have
really
somebody.
Good quarterbacks will elevate
most
the receivers.
Most of them have somebody.
And he's not that guy. Hmm. I don't know. Drab and I are just going to go back and forth on this one, I guess.
I might be pro Mariota. I haven't watched a lot of him, but he's kind of interesting to me. I'm surprised that it hasn't worked out.
All right, coming up next, we will get into the Washington Capitals. They don't stink. They've been on fire. Alan May covers the Caps for NBC Sports Washington. Joins us next here on The Junkie.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Still shut down the party. I can hang with anybody.
Welcome back. Chucky's All 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington as well.
Hey, we played the song yesterday.
We did, but that was on Drab. That is the intro song for our next guest who joined us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, Alan May, Caps analyst for NBC Sports Washington. He's driven by Dulles Motor Cars in beautiful downtown Leesburg and DullesMotorCars.com. What's going on, Alan?
Well, I'm just on my regularly scheduled radio spot right now.
As opposed exactly.
To yesterday, when I was sleeping through my not so regular radio spot.
Right.
What does Alan May sleep to on like an off day? What is it? I would figure you were an early riser.
He's an early riser, I would think.
But he's telling me he's sleeping at 8:20, so that's not an early riser.
Typically, I am, but lately I've been let myself stay in bed till noon. So
when are you getting your workouts in? Alan May, I've seen him at the gym, and he is a workout warrior. At least 7 or 8 years ago, he was.
Usually, with an hour waking up, so whatever it is. Binge watching lately. Life's been kind of boring, so I've been binge watching. Working late, doing hockey games, binge watching. So,
what are you binge watching? What's on the docket? What's in the queue?
I just finished something called Peaky Blinders. I crushed it in a week, and
I heard about that.
Never heard of it before. And then I got addicted to it and got through all 5 seasons in about a week. A
lot of F-bombs in that, from what I've heard.
Dude, just take a step back.
Very good.
5 seasons in a week?
Oh, yeah, that's a lot to watch.
Very good command of the English language in that movie, in that series.
By the way, Alan, you've told this, I think, on the air before, but when you were playing, you told us there was 1 year when you lived out in Venice Beach. What was the body fat percentage then?
4% flat.
Oh my God,
that's a dream nowadays. I don't know what I'd have to. I don't know what I'd have to be taking, but I'd have to be taking it 24/7.
Yeah, for sure. So I wanted to ask you. It's a shame we didn't have you on yesterday, but still, it's fresh enough that we can talk about this fight the other day. I got such a kick out of it. And then you know, obviously, you never want to spit on a guy, but I don't think it's that big a deal. I think it's worse that he got sucker punched. I don't know. You're a guy. You weren't afraid to fight. You mixed it up with guys. What is sort of your take on the whole thing? Do you think the spitting is just totally crossing the line? I mean, it's not something you want to do, but I think sucker punching a guy is crossing the line.
Well, it kind of all goes hand in hand. And, you know, if I was in that situation, I would have handled it differently because I guess spitting was never been in my DNA. And, you know, I don't think Garnet Hathaway is a fighter when it's all said and done. He's a feisty hockey player. He will drop the mitts, but it's a lot different now. You know, us guys that used to do it not 5 or 6 times a season. We used to do it, you know, 30, 40, 50 times in a hockey season. Had now, on the other hand, I have been punched when a referee was holding me before. And one time when I was playing, we were playing the New Jersey Devils, there was a referee in the league, a linesman in the league, that used to break up fights. He thought he was going to take it out of the game all by himself. And he usually put one guy in harm's way. He pushed me onto the glass. And, you know, you respect what the referees are doing. But he did it. He came in the fight by himself. The other guy just unloaded on me and nailed me with one. I was so mad. I wasn't mad at the guy that hit me. But I was mad at the ref. But I knew I couldn't do anything. I didn't spit at him. I didn't kick him. I didn't punch him. I threatened him. Said a lot of things that called him to his PC world that I got suspended for saying. But Hathaway, he had every right to lose his temper. I would have done it different. I think the reaction to, you know, at the timing, I couldn't see it myself. I have not watched it on a full screen. I've been watching it on a monitor on my phone. But, you know, he lost his temper. He'll get suspended for it. And but if I were to take between the two, getting sucker punched or getting spat on, I think I would take getting spat on. Versus getting popped in the head the way he did, because he's got a huge welt on his jaw.
I agree.
But at the same time, we're all programmed. We know what's right and what's wrong when it comes to this.
Yeah.
You know, most guys would have spazzed out and ripped away from the referees and you know, he would have got a game misconduct another way. So, you know, he didn't handle it right, but I can understand him being upset, but you know, it was the wrong thing to do, of course.
So Hathaway's going to have the hearing today. What do you think the result of that is going to be?
He won't be playing tonight. I would take that to the bank. If I were Lurch, I'd probably put big money on that one. Usually when you get a match penalty, it sticks. And it's supposed to be an automatic suspension. unless they go out and say it didn't happen. Well, that happened.
He's
admitting spit came out of his mouth.
Right.
So it did happen. That's the way he said it after the game. And spit came out of my mouth. So
right.
He didn't admit it. He didn't deny it. But anyway, so I'd expect him to get suspended.
What about the Leipzig hit that kind of set everybody off? Now, it was chippy before that, but, I mean, that seemed to be a legit hit. It was big, but it was almost like the Ovi hit, right? It was fair.
You know what I love? That little ball of hate, whirling dervish that was out there, that shift. He had been cheap shotted a little while before. A couple times at the game, I saw him take an extra stick from Goulet, I believe, to Branson as well. And he had his chance to line someone up, and he did it. And probably if he was Tom Wilson and 6'3", 6'4", he may have gotten a penalty because the impact was too hard, because he hit someone too hard. And he went after the defender. He nailed him, dropped him, and he started the whole thing. I loved it. I thought it was absolutely awesome. And it really woke up the arena. We had a couple of dud games there in the past week, and I thought Leipzig, he went out there and he woke the place up. He got the place rocking and rolling. And that's what I love about this fourth line this year. These guys are making things happen. And, you know, normally a fourth line, if it doesn't have an identity, it's out there getting high scoring chances against and not creating a lot. I thought this fourth line all season long has gotten better and better. And it makes things happen every night. It gets positive scoring chances. They scored on that play. After all was said and done, fortunately, the Caps had the right referee in that game, because a lot of guys, I said, I was in the act of blowing my whistle and they wouldn't have counted the goal, which would have been garbage. But yeah, I'm fine with everything Leipzig did. I'm fine with everything Hathaway did, minus the spitting. And I'm certainly fine with Chandler Stephenson scoring a goal.
Joined by Alan May, Capitals analyst for NBC Sports Washington. So, Alan, if I said the Capitals' kryptonite is, how do you fill in the blank?
Oh, God. That's a tough one. You should have let me know beforehand what their kryptonite is. You know what? They really don't have anything right now. As I said last week, they're at the top of the standings, and they're not playing great, in my opinion. They're adapting. They're making adjustments every night, but they're not just one style of hockey dominating everyone. I think it's been a great group effort. I guess that the only thing, their kryptonite could be boredom. Like, you play the Arizona Coyotes and they bore the daylights out of you and you lose the game that way. Montreal was kind of the same thing the other night, kind of bored the daylights out of them. I think it's just going to be a matter, their kryptonite's going to be a matter of making sure they're playing hard enough, physical, nasty, in-your-face hockey all season long. I don't think you want to get them playing games where you're just sitting around, trying not to score until there's absolutely a huge mistake. But I think as long as they're playing aggressive hockey, they're the best team in the National Hockey League, and they're not even going close to what they can right now.
What about the Islanders, what they're doing right behind the Caps at this point? They've got 31 points, still trail the Caps by 5, even though they've played 4 less games. Barry Trotz getting it done on the island.
Well, they're probably the team that's playing in the most rhythm, playing the exact same style of hockey every night. You know, when you talk about peaking too soon, this is going to be a team that may peak too soon. They've got everything going their way right now, the way they're playing. They're super, super defensive. And they've unleashed their young guy, Matt Barzal, who's got way too much talent just to play defensive hockey all the time. They're playing an incredible brand of hockey without the puck. They play physical when they need to, but there's a lot of nights they throw no hitters. They're not really trying to score. They can bore and stifle you to death. It'll be a matter of, as the season goes on, teams figuring out everything about their system. And if the goals dry up for them, they're going to be a whole lot of trouble, because they really don't have a lot of depth. Things are going their way right now, but when it comes to goal scoring depth, I don't think they have what it takes to go the distance. I may be wrong, because they're playing such a great brand of defensive hockey, but I just don't know if they've got true scores to be able to light it up in no chance hockey games like the playoffs can be.
How do you handicap tonight's game at the Garden? Got to get this a
little. Always get it in.
An edge. Need an edge.
I don't know if I would give you an edge, but I think the Rangers, the way they play, they're kind of a disaster. You never know what's coming out of the tunnel with that team. They're a lot of young hockey players. on that team right now. They've got some older players that are at the tail end of their careers. You never know what they're going to get in the goaltending department. But I'd be really upset if the Capitals were to lose this one. With the way they're playing right now, all their top guys are doing what they need to do. We were getting great, contributions from the third and fourth line now, especially with Ponick finally getting on the board. That really helps that third line. I think right now, Travis Boyd, Lars Eller, they're doing what they need to do. John Carlson's kind of unstoppable. I would have to say that the Caps should win this, hands down. It shouldn't be a close one. They should be able to dominate, take advantage of young mistakes, the depth of the roster, by playing more physical. And just, you know, the only thing, only way they lose tonight is if, say, Henrik Lundqvist plays and he has another one of those nights where he stops 40 shots and he shouldn't be stopping. But I think those days are far behind him where he's able to do that every single night.
I can't believe he's still in the league. Okay, it's the double dip. You got a double dip opportunity tonight.
Oh, that's right.
Capitals are almost 2-1 favorites. The Wizards are catching a point and a half against the Spurs at home. A double dip bet of $50 pays you 96.
Valdez, lock that in for me. Do the double dip. I'm in.
Unbelievable.
$50.
That's a parlay.
We're going to make it happen. We're going to make the magic happen tonight.
All right. Thank you, Alan. We appreciate it, buddy.
All right, take care, guys.
Bye. All right, buddy. It's Alan May. We love him.
There you go. $50 pays you 96.
Yeah, I've got a full-on sweat tonight. Love it.
The team total, EB, for the Caps is 3.5 tonight. I think I might, like, go over that. They've been scoring a lot of goals.
Seems like a lot. I don't know.
They
man.
Have, it's but if Henrik has one of those nights where he's on fire,
I mean, like
it's
Alan
tough.
Said, if he's hot, it's going to be impossible to get anything by him.
So you watch Peaky Blinders in a week. I just saw one of our loyal listeners, Shola, said it's only 6 episodes per season. But that's still 30 episodes.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
He's a dedicated binge guy.
Granted, I'm telling you, I watched Jack Ryan in roughly 28 hours.
Solid offering.
Look, I don't know.
I started watching a show on Starz called The Dublin Murders.
Yeah,
and it's got a backstory, but it's similar to True Detective.
Okay,
but it's a British version because it's obviously filmed in Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to understand the actors,
right?
But it's about the murder of a 13-year-old girl and who did it, and there's a backstory on the detective, and it's pretty good. Although I can only understand about 65% of it because the the Irish.
Yeah, I'm out on
that. What's the one which we were watching?
Your heart got to understand. Like,
it sounded like mom instead of man.
Mom, oh, Bodyguard.
Bodyguard.
Silly.
Yeah.
Can't wait for,
really
can't wait for the next season.
That was good, too. Again,
definitely.
But the dialects are so strong, it's tough to. Sometimes you've got to rewind it and go, wait, what did they just say?
Right.
But it's pretty good.
I don't have Starz, so that eliminates that one.
I got it all. I've got Showtime. DirecTV $1 billion.
You should get every channel.
Every movie channel.
I pay Fios a ton as well.
Yeah.
My DirecTV bill's $287 a month.
Is it?
I'm just under that.
Mm-hmm.
And then
so I feel like I have to watch some of these movie channels to justify the payments.
Get your money's worth, exactly.
Plus, you watch Power on Starz.
Power, yeah. Coming back
do you watch
January,
anything
January
on-
5th.
You watch anything on the movie channel?
No, I don't think
How
so.
How could you?
Unless I'm flipping
Cinemax,
around and the town's
Cinemax.
On or something.
Do you watch anything on Cinemax? Do they have the old Emmanuel movies? No, do they still can't. Show those?
They show different.
It's impossible.
Cinemax.
Emmanuel in Outer Space.
Yeah. Do they show
almost unwatchable.
Do they show like skins hitting?
Yeah, they show skins hitting. But
simulated.
It's clearly
it's all simulated.
Simulated.
Yeah.
They're
it's
definitely not doing it.
Not I
think doing
that they might it. Be... There might be a possibility where they're legit porn movies, which they just cut, like they edit.
Yeah,
maybe have an
right.
extra camera,
right.
so they only see like the back
but
of
in, like,
a head.
But like the Emmanuel ones, they
honestly,
were simulated.
They'll show like just the back of a head.
Right.
You're channeling your 13-year-old self right now.
Hey, man, those are some
you're
good
going,
times.
You're going way
I wasn't
back.
As young as you, Cakes. I was a little older.
All right, we will talk
Cakes
some,
got after it early.
Well, who didn't? Well, you're 13. What are you wasting your time for?
A little later in the show, we'll talk to John Clayton, now with the Washington Post, right here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Chucky's All 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. We're 8 days away from Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So next Thursday is Thanksgiving, and then the day after is Black Friday.
Ooh, I got to look up the Thanksgiving Day NFL slate.
By the way, I have to mention, for Black Friday,
mm-hmm. yes.
I'm going to be doing an appearance.
You are?
Quack.
Yes,
it's
for
quack.
KO Distilling.
Ah, very good.
Cool. They're having a Black Party celebration.
It's Black.
At their location in Manassas. I'm going to be there 12 to 2.
Okay, good.
Come on
Very
out.
Cool.
Take tours, have some cocktails, hang out with your boy.
Do some tastings,
buy some gifts, holiday gifts for your friends and family. That's 12 to 2 on Black Friday at KO Distilling.
Very good.
So we all know that technology is so good now that if you click on something, if you even mention something, you start getting ads for it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Recently I went to Best Buy. I had to replace this smaller TV that was in Dylan's room that he uses for gaming. His previous TV just went out. Like, no picture if you wanted to watch TV, gaming, whatever. It's actually not even hooked up to TV. He's got no cable
there.
Get so
psyched for TV purchasing.
Of course you do.
Right. I just love buying TVs.
It's all steamed up.
So I bought him his TV, and
Brand name?
I think it was a Samsung.
Okay.
I bought a Samsung.
Not that it really matters, but...
No, but it was a 32-incher.
Okay.
Like, you should be able to get that for about $100.
I did. I think it was $119, something
you
like
didn't,
that.
You didn't buy a stupid warranty.
No.
Never buy the warranty. Just buy another one for $100.
Especially not on a $120 number.
Yeah. Right. But,
seriously.
And so, I bought it at Best Buy.
Yeah.
Bought the Samsung, and... Maybe I would get these normally, but I swear to God, I'm getting like 4 doorbuster ads per day for Best Buy, and it's probably because
what are doorbuster ads?
That's for Black Friday, like they entice you to come.
Where are you getting the ads? Like on your Facebook?
No, my email. So I get a Best Buy email.
Yeah, he's on the list now.
Why don't you get rid of that? Delete that.
Unsubscribe for those blinkies.
Mark it as spam.
Because I get kind of psyched because, like you said, you like TV shopping, and I just saw. I don't know. See.
You gonna buy another TV?
I live in a one-level townhouse.
Yeah.
Where we set up the TV in the main family room area. It's on a wall where you have the steps coming down, so there's only so much space. And I think I squeezed like a 48-incher in, and there's only a couple inches inside, so I couldn't go and get like a 70-incher.
Yeah. Couldn't get it bigger.
But it's so tempting when you see they're selling like 70-inchers for like $400.
Yeah. Oh, they're so cheap.
I know.
You should have one in every room.
Right.
I mean, it's absurd.
Every bathroom, it shouldn't matter.
Just put a 70-incher in
there. You get like a 100-incher for $8.99.
Yeah, but please tell me you're not tempted to wake up at 3 a.m. and get in line with a bunch of donkey dogs.
Some
people just do that.
Yeah, they'll knock you down. Yeah. They'll beat you up.
Right.
Do anything
over
to get
a TV.
Anything to jump ahead of
right,
you.
Right. I'm not talking about going there in person, but they're giving you the Black Friday deals in advance now. So it used to be all about Black Friday, right? So I'm telling you, 3 to 4 times a day, I'll get an email, and it'll say, check out this Black Friday deal.
Right. You definitely open it.
And they're
one?
All from Best Buy. You got to get off that list, dude.
Well,
that would just tilt me.
I get them from Groupon. I'm on a couple of lists. Right.
I'm sized.
Groupon, I mean, they'll sell you an iPad for like $300.
Yeah.
I'm like, can that be one that actually works? You guys have iPads. You probably spend $1,000
on
that.
An iPad.
It's an iPad.
It's a MacBook.
You know what I mean?
It's MacBook, a MacBook
Air.
Ricky.
Fine.
This is old, though. This is like 8 years old.
I meant to say Mac.
It's time for you to
It is time to upgrade.
Up. Yeah, you got to upgrade.
Yeah.
8-year-old computer.
Come yeah. It's
on Groupon, they'll give you a MacBook Air for like $499.
Sized. Might have to do it.
Which
might have to pull the trigger.
Like $1,100.
Yeah, because it's a 2012 model.
Right.
That's what you're buying.
Right.
You're getting what you pay for.
So I'm not that interested.
You'll buy the same one.
I'll buy an old hoop.
But I saw.
What do I care?
I saw a 55-incher. Now I'm not that familiar with this brand. Insignia.
Yeah. That's Best Buy's brand. That's their house brand.
That's their generic.
Yes.
I think their doorbuster, whatever special, which I think you can reserve right now and probably pick it up right now. It was like $1.99.
Oh, okay.
For what?
55-incher.
Because the quality isn't as good as the other ones.
No, they're just, it's fine, but it's like, it's plasticky. The parts are poop.
Yeah, you're buying a poo
stick. The picture will be pretty good.
Pretty good, but if you put them side by side with a Samsung.
Yeah.
Or
like a silly LG.
But what you'll notice is,
see a difference.
They're just plasticky-er. They're just made with cheaper parts.
Yeah. Right. I'd stay away from that. I'm kind of a Samsung guy.
Samsung
seems like pretty
solid. Yeah.
I like Samsung.
Although
I love it.
The TV, which I'm thinking about replacing in the bedroom, which I've always said, in my bedroom, big TV, but it's a dumb TV.
Yeah, you need a smarter TV.
It's a dumb TV.
Yeah, but for $10, you can put a Roku stick in there, and then you got a smart TV all of a sudden.
Okay, that's a possibility. It's a Panasonic. That's kind of dumb, right?
I think I might have a Magnavox.
No, you don't.
I did at one point, but I upgraded to, I think I have a Stefan.
You have a Stefan Diggs and a Stefan Marbury.
Can somebody pull it?
Stefan
Higher.
Stefan Higher. Oh, that's a hurting one.
I didn't even
know. Very deep pull.
But he didn't spell it that way, so it's a little different.
It's pretty close.
It's a 16 seed of TV.
It's very close.
What is your top TV?
Top TV? I have a Samsung in my basement.
It's a Samsung.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even
know. Yeah, I don't care about my I'm very impulsive like you. Like, the last time I was in, what's the Micro Center, I went to buy my kids something, and we stumbled upon this Stefan. It was dirt cheap, and I said, I'm buying it. Can't not buy it. It's so cheap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, when I bought the little one, the 32-incher for my son, they had just lined up in Best Buy these ones in boxes. I think there were 55 inches going for like $369.
Yeah.
And it was either Samsung, it was one of the good brands.
It's a great time to be a consumer.
It's an amazing time.
You would not go out to these places on Friday. You would not do that on Black Friday.
My wife and daughter,
they have two different conversations.
They do Black Friday, but they don't get into scrums with people. Like, they're not super aggressive.
I've gone on a Black Friday like at 9 a.m. after all the maniacs were there, like at midnight or whatever, and it looks like a bomb at the store.
Right.
Like, you wouldn't believe it.
Do you go to the nice stores or do you go to the numbers like you love TJ Maxx?
No, I would go to like Best Buy or something. And then, the computers for $100 would all be gone.
Right.
Every day's Black Friday at TJ Maxx.
Yeah. Right,
TJ Maxx is silly. You can go there any day. I maintain that.
But TJ Maxx, it looks like a Neiman Marcus compared. Like, if you go into a Ross, dress for
Ross, you can't really go into Ross. You have to take Ross out of your
rotation.
That
is the absolute bottom of the barrel.
You're just offending so many people who go to Ross every week.
Well, you go to the bottom of the barrel, and then you go underneath
many people that go to Ross.
It's a terrible store.
That's why they're everywhere.
They are
They don't even keep it up. It's just a big mess in there.
It's for numbers, but there are a lot of numbers out there.
It's true.
I don't know who can go to that thing. It's just a mess.
I mean, they've got the shopping carts with the big rods on top.
I'm cheap. I'll go to TJ Maxx and Marshall's, but Ross is just a step below. That's like going to a
flea market?
Some people like to do that.
I don't know. I don't think about it.
I have friends, even my kids, they'll go to Goodwill and buy used stuff.
Goodwill is better than Goodwill. Like, a good thrift store is higher on the food chain than
Ross. Buy like a vintage jacket or something.
It just is.
And to me, I'm like, I don't want to wear some dead dude's jacket.
An estate sale.
Yeah. Well, no, they do it. Like, what do you think you're buying when you go to these like Goodwills or whatever?
Well, a lot of it's just donations.
A lot
it's
of it's just some dead guy's sweater.
Not always from a dead guy.
That's what it is. It's a guy donked off and the wife got rid of his clothes.
Yeah, but you know what? You throw it in the washing machine with some Tide and it's silly.
I brought stuff to Goodwill with tags on it that I just never wore.
Like, yeah, I got stuff like
got
that.
Got a birthday gift.
I have two or three CSN polos.
Well, they want you to cut those up with a billion
scissors. Exactly. I still have them with the tags.
You still have that?
I still have with the tags in the bags.
Yeah, throw them away.
Or donate them.
I don't know what to do with them. I give it to my brother.
Some number walking around with EB's CSN shirt.
Right. Is it, now it's NBC Sports Washington.
Sure.
It's not
my
CSN
wife
anymore.
Just sold some of my old tennis shoes for $20. A guy, Asian dude, pulled up to my house.
Was he sized?
He pulled up to my house, walked, knocked on the door, and I had the shoes. They were out on the patio.
Yeah.
Was it
Yao Ming?
And he said,
fitting those shoes.
And $20.
Craigslist.
What kind of shoes were they?
I can't tell you.
Were they like dress shoes?
I can't tell you.
Why?
Because they were given to us.
Oh, jeez.
From Pacers? You gave away some Pacers shoes.
Well, why did you say it?
Well, because it's
Chris
the only guy
Farley
because of shoes.
Care.
It's not hard to figure that out.
I'll tell you this. There was Brooks. And I'm not a Brooks guy.
Oh, my God. You're not a Brooks guy?
I like those.
Oh, my God. What a snob.
You're a shoe snob. So, full on.
So should have gave them to me.
This guy was butt size for him, $20.
Yeah, well, because I probably never wore them.
I put gas in my car.
Because they probably retail for $110.
He paid for my gas for the
week. Retail for $110. He got it for $20.
Mm-hmm. While we were speaking, I just got one of these ads. This one's from Micro Center. 49-incher, 4K, Ultra HD, HDR, smart LED
TV.
Yeah,
right. How much?
$179.
Yeah.
49 inches?
49 inches ain't that much. That's like a bathroom TV.
I mean, what are these?
Those are 42-inch numbers.
49 is bigger than that.
Yeah, but that's nothing.
Pretty good.
That's nubs. That'd be in your kid's room. 42-inch. With today's prices and everything, you got to have minimum 65.
Well, here's a Samsung 65 for $479.
Now, that's when you get.
JP's diving in on the deals.
That's when you get.
He loves it.
Hell, you get a 65 for your bedroom now.
Oh, hell yeah.
Bedroom should have a big
deal.
That's
what I'm thinking about doing. Upgrading the bedroom, Panasonic.
Good, I don't feel like my Stefan Heyer is big enough for my bedroom.
The 42-inch Panasonic or whatever I have.
Right.
Bumping it up.
I got to get one for my deck and put it outside. See how long it lasts in the snow and the rain.
The horsey model TV. You got to get that in your deck.
The horsey. Does he still have the nubby TVs?
I don't know.
I think he's upgraded a few of them.
Yeah, I hope so.
He's got to be doing something with his money. He's never had kids.
I don't know.
He's probably sitting on a mountain of cash. No kids for all these years?
I have no idea.
Think about how much money you spent on your kids. He's never had to do that.
I spent $1 billion on my kids.
He should have $7 million in the bank. Tom Horsecamp.
I know he didn't spend anything on his house.
Yeah. He hadn't upgraded his trash cans.
He's a good dude.
He's going to get jailed off of that for the next 20
years.
Let's
get back to him in about 10 seconds.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.